Welcome to the My Crazy Office Podcast with the authors of Working With You Is Killing Me, Working For You Isn't Working For Me, and Mean Girls at Work, Kathy Elster and Katherine Crowley. They are committed to helping you navigate the hardest part of any job, the people. And now, here are Kathy and Katherine.
Hey everyone, I'm Kathy Elster.
And I'm Katherine Crowley, and welcome to My Crazy Office.
And today we want to welcome our special guest, Charlie Allinson. Hello.
Hi.
Hi. So Charlie's the founder of Improving with Improv. I love that. Can you just tell us a little bit about what Improving with Improv does and the best way for people to learn about you?
Sure. This started out, I needed something else to do with my mind, and I started studying improv training and improv comedy at the Upright Citizens Brigade, and I was studying with Amy Poehler for a while and some among others. And while I was doing this, it occurred to me that the skills that I was acquiring doing improv comedy could be applied into a business and corporate learning and development.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
And so I said, well, let me give it a shot. And so I put together this curriculum, and I started knocking on doors, and I've been fortunate enough to do Improving with Improv workshops for the Department of Defense, which I'm not allowed to talk about, or the black helicopters come.
Wow.
But I've also done GE and Walmart and Aflac and Accenture and law firms and medical institutions and Novartis Pharmaceuticals and just about any kind of business, because no matter what business you're in, the problems are the same. Human beings are human beings, and they all react the same way, and I give them solutions to work better, think faster and smarter, and have a better time.
Great. So you can help our question askers.
I'll do my best. I'll do my best.
I'm interested in the Department of Defense. So really, they're going to come and kill us? We can't talk about that?
No, they won't come and kill you as long as I don't say anything.
Oh. Yeah. We know about that.
I had to give up my cell phone. I had to give up my iPad, my laptop. I had two guys with loaded M16s escorting me to the class.
Yeah, we've had some of that. We actually just finished something with the federal government, but here's the problem. They can't figure out how to pay. There's a problem there. I don't know if you ran into that.
No, I did get paid.
But wasn't it hard getting paid?
No.
Oh, all right. We'll discuss that later.
I'll tell you why. I brought bagels.
That's what we should have done.
We should have known.
Next time. Thank you.
I will bring bagels next time.
There you go.
All right. Why don't we go to our first question, Logan?
Let's do it. I recently received a promotion within my organization, and a colleague of mine was promoted into my position. My new job is a real move up for me, but I'm having trouble disengaging from my former role. It's been a month now, and the person who's replacing me continues to request and expect help with his new role. At the same time, because my office hasn't moved, all of the other people I used to work with keep coming to me as well. How do I politely cut the cord and get everyone to deal with the new reality?
Oh.
Go on vacation. I think you need to go away for a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
No, I'm only kidding. I mean, can't you move? I just wonder why, you know, that's a setup.
Yes, it is.
I mean, the employees are used to going to this person.
Well, there may be reasons why they're not moving the person who's asking this question immediately. Maybe does it take a little while? I don't know. It could take a while to make that kind of change.
I think that's true. But, you know, the thing is, you can't just cut people off. It is a gradual process. But what I think this person has to do is somehow not be so visible.
Sneaking in at the beginning of the day.
Or don't come in. I feel like this person has to somehow create some sort of a change in their behavior.
Interesting.
Yeah.
There's a little improv trick that could be helpful here. It's the most basic of improv exercises and tools.
Yeah.
And it goes like this. Somebody comes into this person's office, and the person says, I can't help you anymore. And the other person says, yeah, but you used to. And then the person who was promoted says, yeah, but I can't. And because we always tend to answer, yeah, but, yeah, but, yeah, but. So if the person who was promoted changes his answer or her answer to yes, and, the conversation will go like this. Yeah, but you used to help me. You can say, yes, and I'm in a new position. So I am not really able or allowed to do that anymore.
That's interesting. Able or allowed.
So you take the but away, you replace it with and then you just tack on that little explanation. And that way, I don't think anybody's feelings will get hurt. And the more you use the yes and, it means you're including them in the discussion, but you're also giving...
Informing them of the new reality.
So you're not cutting them off.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a very interesting tactic.
Yeah.
I also think that I'm just going to speak on the psychological dynamics of change. Whenever you introduce a change to a system that's been in place for a long time, the people on the receiving end are going to do what's called the switchback, which means they're mm-hmm. going to do whatever they can to get you back to your former position, your former role, your former behavior. So this person, and I like that, yes, and I can't. I think what's hard is to actually say those words and stick to them.
I agree.
And I think with the colleague, I would have a sit down with the colleague and say, training is over. Mm-hmm. It's been great. And now, from now on, when someone comes to ask me for something, I'm going to send them to you. So to make it very clear that, and then you have to do it.
And then
that's the hard part.
And you just use the word and.
Yeah.
Your training is over, and now I'm going to send them to you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the ace in the hole is this other person who is the new boss now. They have to be more visible, whereas the old boss has to be much less visible and not even put in the situation where people even have to, you know, come in.
Yeah.
So, all right. So there we go.
Yeah. And if it helps, you could wear a pair of Jackie O sunglasses or something if that helps you feel like you're in a different role.
I find that does help. I don't know about you, but I always find shades definitely create a barrier.
All right. So especially if you're coming into the office with some sunglasses,
indoor
me
shades.
And Catherine will know.
We could go as far as a hazmat suit.
That will work also.
And a little floor mat that says go away.
I like that a lot. I like
so do
the,
I. So
the
props. If you have trouble with the words, bring some props.
Yeah. All right, let's go to our next question. That's a tough one.
Mm-hmm.
I work for a very large corporation and have been seeking opportunities for advancement for a while. Last week, the head of another division within the corporation approached me and asked if I'd like to come to his department to fill a position that requires my skills. This promotion would be lateral at best. It does not really involve learning new skills or gaining a higher title. How do I say no thank you without burning a bridge?
Yeah. Wow. See, I think it's going to take a lot of thought, very careful thought in how you present this to whoever you have to present it to, the boss who's giving you this promotion.
Offering this promotion.
Right.
It is someone in a separate division. So here's what I would do, which is maybe
you're cutting
a little
me off, but
sneaky.
I'll accept it.
Oh, well, go ahead.
No, it's okay. I'll accept it.
Well, I would, I think I would plea that you're needed in your current role and not really able to make this transition. Mm-hmm. I would start with that. Go ahead, Kathy. Mm-hmm.
Now, I think you have to really put some considerable thought into how you say this mm-hmm. so that you would be saying something that would ring true mm-hmm. to them. Mm-hmm. Something on the line of, you know, this is not utilizing the skills that I'm interested in moving forward with.
Yeah.
And then actually saying what it is you would like the
yes.
next opportunity to be. So you're not putting the opportunity down. You're not putting the people down. You're just saying that you've put a lot of thought into your career and what you'd like it to be. I mean, I think you run the risk of burning a bridge no matter what.
Because they won't be happy if you say no.
Nobody likes to hear no. I don't like hearing no.
No. Nobody likes to hear no.
No. It's a problem.
No. Some analysis is in order here of how close this other person is to the people that you work for. And if you do turn them down, how vindictive do you think they will be no matter how nicely you turn them down? So my non-professional advice would be get your resume out there and start looking for a new gig.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah. I had one other, I think that's good advice. I mean, what I think is interesting is that it starts with that this person has been seeking opportunities for advancement for a while.
That's exactly right.
So to your point, getting the resume out is important. And actually, Kathy, you are saying that this individual should know what they are actually seeking. What would advancement look like for you? And the other piece, I think you could offer an olive branch, because most yes. times when people come to you looking to fill a position that they don't know what they really need, you could be the interpreter. Like, you could say, okay, let's look at the problem you're trying to solve and let me help you define the right person for this position. It's probably not me, but I could really help you define the role and find the person that could solve this for you.
Yeah, I agree. I actually was going to say that.
So was I. I was going to say that also.
I was going to say that too.
Yeah, I think we're all going to say that.
Yeah, and I think while you're helping them find the right person, you can also maybe help them out.
Yeah,
and you know, say I'd be happy to help you out, because that's also a way of not burning a bridge.
Yeah,
but you know, burning the bridge just reminds me of Bridgegate, you know, with Governor Christie. I don't know why. I just on my mind.
I thought this was a nonpartisan program, but
it is. I didn't give an opinion. I'm but just saying that it reminds.
Let's go there, though.
It just reminds me of burning bridges and bridges and
jamming bridges
and how much trouble you can get in.
Bridges are very delicate instruments, even though they're quite large and yes. have a lot of traffic on them.
Yes, they are.
Especially if it's the George Washington. But anyway, but we don't need to talk about that.
No, and there also is, I think, the danger in saying, well, let me help you out a little bit.
Right, and then getting stuck.
And then you're going to get stuck, because then they're going to, in a way, it can reflect back to the first question.
Yeah.
In a strange way, because the person who wants to hire you, they're going to ask you for more help. And more help, and you're not getting paid for getting this more help, and you really don't want to give this guy
right.
more help, or woman, or whatever, you know.
But actually, that's why my thing is that you have to say initially, this isn't the role for me. And then you can say, but I can help you fill it. I can help you really figure out what you need and get the person in who can
fill it. This is such a delicate situation. The truth is, you know, there's a lot of information that's missing.
Many pieces are missing.
And that would help next time you write this question to somebody, if we actually understood more about the team player. So this is a case where you probably need a mentor or an executive coach. I'm not selling in the moment, but I could be. But this is the time when you really need someone to help you understand the political dynamics of this organization.
The bridge, so to speak.
The bridge.
That you're trying to cross.
Or go to the person who you're working for, if you have a good relationship with them, and say, look, I'm in a pickle.
Right.
Yeah.
What do I do?
I like working for you. You know, and I'm being put in an uncomfortable situation because these are not the skills I want. Do you have any advice? Because you're higher up the food chain and you've seen more of this.
But that's smart too, because then maybe that boss starts to look at you as, okay, you're wanted. You know, you are a desirable commodity. Maybe I need to be looking at how to move you, advance you as well.
That's the subtext here, because if somebody else, even within the company, is looking to poach you, they might see you as being more valuable than they've been looking at you.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's it for this segment. Charlie, how can people find out about you and your work?
You can go to my website, which is simply improvingwithimprov.com. You can find some of my peculiar tweetings simply at Charlie Allinson, which is me. Well, it meets me today. I have lots of personalities, but but that's it. CharlieAllinson.com. You can find me there. You can see what some of the people who have said about working with me, and get a little bit of idea about my program. And it's fun, and it really works.
Great, thank you so much. So join us next time for another My Crazy Office podcast, and don't forget to send your questions to info@mycrazyoffice.co.
Join us next time for another My Crazy Office podcast. And don't forget to send your questions to info@mycrazyoffice.co.